Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. I'm your host, Stone Payton, and in the studio with me this morning is my good friend and co-host, Lee Cantor. How you doing, man?
A-OK, Mr. Stone. A-OK. I heard you had a big trip.
I did have a big trip. I went to Cincinnati and collected my youngest, fresh off of her internship. We called it graphics camp. Yeah. And she was learning all about the graphic arts business with her cousin, Carrie, who is a very successful graphic artist. And I was, I got to tell you, I was absolutely amazed at what she's learned. She showed me how she goes into the back end of the websites and the blogs that Carrie's company maintains. And I don't know, maybe it's some talent we could use around here, huh?
There you go.
So what did you do in my absence?
Not much. Usual fun and games. Watch a lot of movies. Got Netflix. So now we're like binging on Netflix.
Yeah. Have you tried The Orange is the New Black?
Not yet. Have you?
Yeah, I don't like it as much as I do House of Cards, but it was a nice diversion, so I've started it. But I don't know if I'm going to binge watch it or just kind of spread it out. So this is going to be a lot of fun. This is going to be a fantastic segment. A little bit later in the program, we're going to get a chance to visit with Demi Tanner, who is VP of Corporate Sales for Axia Payments. But first up on the High Velocity Radio Show, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce Director of Marketing Kara Tarantino, and Director of Client Engagement, Amanda Helmy. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Thank you.
Well, we are delighted to have you. Let's start with you, Kara. Maybe you can give us an overview of Vericom, mission, purpose. What kind of things are you out there doing for folks?
Sure. Vericom Corporation, we're located in Roswell, Georgia. And it's pretty exciting to be here because we're entering nearly our 25th year in serving hospitals, health systems, physician practices with on-hold messaging and digital signage. So it's we're exclusively for healthcare. We have a lot of locally based clients, a lot of hospitals such as Emory Healthcare that we've been serving for 17 years now. So it's pretty exciting. We have some very long-term clients. More than 50% of our clients have been with us for over 10 years. So that's pretty neat. I think our mission really is to get out there in the community and help spread the word, working with hospital marketers about preventive care, patient education, events, seminars, anything that helps hospitals better connect with patients, caregivers, employees, things of that nature.
So how does your service, like what exactly is your service?
Well, our two main products that we focus in on are on-hold messaging. So for example, if you were to call a hospital and get placed on hold,
right,
you would hear patient education messages, and we work with the clients to put the scripts together, and then our deliverable is the actual program that you would hear on hold. And then
how long does that program last?
A couple of minutes. I'm going to defer to Amanda because she's really the expert on sound care.
On average, those programs last around 2 minutes is the ideal program because those are messages that are written for the ear, not something that's a written word. So they run on average around 80 words for a message, and then there's about a 30-second music in between, and then the new message comes in, and there's around 9 messages per program. So
interesting decision to stay focused and niched, if you will, in healthcare. Any insight into what drove that decision? And do you continue to struggle with that and think, wow, we could be doing this for all kinds of folks?
That's an excellent question. The founder and the owner of the company, Robert Loeb, started the company, out of his bedroom in his house with the goal of just serving healthcare because there's so much work to be done in healthcare. And we have had opportunities to stray from healthcare many times, but I think that's what we know best, and we look at ourselves as an extension of what our clients are doing as part of their business. So I think we have grown with their challenges and their needs, and healthcare is continually evolving and changing. And what's interesting about other industries, they're all getting into healthcare as well, even if they don't call themselves healthcare. they are, because you have to serve your employees. You know, everybody you work with needs, you know, is involved in healthcare in some way.
Now, these programs that you create, these, 80-word programs, are they only available through the on-hold, or do the clients also take them and put them on their website as thought leadership?
We have allowed clients to do that. Typically, those might be posted to their Facebook page. One mm-hmm. of the things that we do offer as part of the services is we have something called our Sound Ideas Library, which are, we write around 90 to 100 messages every month in specific categories for the healthcare industry. So mm-hmm. oncology, cardiology, kind of hot topic type stuff. Right now, we're really focusing on Affordable Care Act as well. Mm-hmm. And those are things that they can choose. So instead of having a marketer, and of course, their time is very limited. So instead of them spending time writing these messages, they can go ahead and pick from our messages that have already been written, and they're actually approved by an RN that's with the CDC. Mm-hmm. So that information is all correct. And they can tag those messages, which basically means that they can go in and put some specifics about their organization or their hospital or whatever they need to push a little bit.
So it feels customized.
It does, exactly, but it's not. And it takes, on average, around 10 to 15 minutes for our clients to do every month. And some of those they do post to their Facebook pages and some of their other, you know, social media outlets as well. But, you know, one of our other products, Channel Care, which is the digital signage medium that Kara spoke about a little bit, they can use those, and it's a great complement to their Sound Care program. So if you have someone that's calling the hospital, gets placed on hold, and hears about maybe an event or a mammography screening that's coming up, once they go into the hospital, sit down, that message can then be supported by the digital signage.
So it's reinforced.
Medium. Exactly.
So all their marketing is integrated.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's ideal for any of our clients, I would say.
Sounds like it's a good, what Lee and I call social media food, because social media platforms, I mean, it's such a hungry beast, and you're always trying to find content and all that
kind of thing. It's not super pitchy, but it's informative and educational. Now, are you strictly serious business? This is all like this,
not Kara's not. Yeah. She's laughing already.
Or is there room to kind of make it a little more playful?
We have tried, I'm not going to lie, we've tried the humor route. We actually have one of our ways that we do our sound ideas is we write something called sound skits. Mm-hmm. And we have the benefit of having several different voice talents come in. And it's instead of being, you know, did you know that 1 in 3 people, you know, and someone talking at you, it's a very informative, kind of almost like a commercial with mm-hmm. several different dialogues going in. And some of those, I think they're hilarious and they're so funny. It depends on the system. You know, some hospitals do not, you know, healthcare is not funny to them. And, you know, we may have some messages that we've written about washing hands, something that simple for our digital signage platform. You would be surprised at how hand washing in hospitals can become an issue. And, you know, to us, it's something we think would be a good way to integrate some humor into those programs. But, you know, it just depends on the client if they choose it or not.
Yeah, it's interesting that you bring that up, because what we find is that you have to be relevant to your audiences, and you have to be able to connect with the unique audiences in different ways. So if humor works, use it. If it doesn't, don't. You know, that's why we're very consultative in our content, because we want to tell people, you know, no one size fits all, and you have to bend and move and be flexible with content to make sure that people get it. And what's interesting, even with social media, is once they get it, you need to change it up, because otherwise...
Right, they get bored of it, right?
Exactly. People tune it out. You know, we'll even tell a lot of our clients, they'll say, well, we're only interested in communicating to patients right now. We'll deal with employees later. Well, guess what? Employees use your healthcare services just like a patient does, and they see this stuff every day. And if you don't change it up, and if you're not relevant to who they are, you're going to lose them. And waiting is such an important opportunity in healthcare, and it's such an integral part of the patient experience right now that it's an opportunity that people are crazy not to fulfill, you know. So that's why we're always there trying different types of messages, mm-hmm. You know, developing new angles, and it's fun for us mm-hmm. too.
Now, when you're working with a client, maybe a new client, are they coming from a system where typically they're just playing like on hold music, and then they're moving to some. This is more of an educational platform, right?
Most of the time, you know, I think, unfortunately, within hospital systems, it is hard to gauge what the average hold time is. Obviously, you call into a hospital and the operator answers. Ideally, they don't have anyone on hold for any length of time.
Yeah.
However,
what world is that?
Right, exactly. However, what is not gauged is, okay, well, I got transferred from the operator to the business office, and I waited 4 or 5 minutes there. Well, the business office wasn't really who I needed to speak with, and then I got transferred over
again. So now I'm up to like 6 or 8 minutes.
Exactly. So, you know, some of those places may have just music on hold. Some of them, unfortunately, don't have anything.
So it's just silence?
So, yeah, and so you just sit there going, well, did my call get dropped, or what's going on? So this is, you know, it's also a really easy time to just educate your patients. I mean, what if they're calling to ask you, what do I need to bring to my appointment?
Right.
Guess what? You've already eliminated somebody having to spend time explaining that on a call when they heard it on the message, and then they'll hang up. So it does really decrease the call abandonment rates as well. So that's a big benefit to the service.
So what are some of the success metrics? It sounds like call abandonment rate may be one of them.
How
do different clients measure success? Maybe it varies some, I guess.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. A number of our clients we serve are call centers. They're easy because they track routinely.
Right.
Yeah, they're in the business of tracking.
Yeah, exactly.
It's their job.
Yeah. So when people call in, you know, one of the questions they ask is, how did you hear about us? You know, and a lot of times, I was just listening to a message and I heard something. The other thing they know is we really stress call to action. So if you have call to action in one of your messages and somebody calls in, that may be the only number that people are referred to. So even if they forget, they know, okay, that number was only on that message. Therefore, they must have heard it on SoundCare. So that happens.
And
very
the call
frequently.
To action comes into play, like if there's an event, like you were saying, like if they're having a special clinic or they're doing some special.
We've actually had some clients that will call us and say, hey, we need you to take this down, the studies, because we have some that do studies.
Uh-huh.
And they're asking for patients to come participate in some of those studies, and they have to have us take it down because they're getting too many calls. It's an overabundance of those. Because,
so that's good for you.
It is great, of course. We're like,
see,
we'll take it down.
See how good this works? You should try it for other things.
I know. That's the instances when we go, hey, could you hold on 1 second? We need to speak with our marketing person.
Can I record that?
Exactly.
We also have a special when you talk about measuring and things that are unique. And we've had a number of clients that have had, let's say, competitors. And a lot of times, all it takes is one physician who says, I don't want to listen to messages when I'm placed on hold. This has happened a lot in the past. So what we do is we'll come in and say, well, we have this unique feature called SoundView, where we will interview the physician online, record his voice, and have him speak directly to the callers. And a lot of times we're able to turn around somebody who is like, I don't like this medium. You know, I'm placed on hold. And now all of a sudden, he is educating callers in his own voice about what he believes in and is passionate
in. So he'll give like a tip or some bit of information or education.
Right. And it may be, you know, what we encourage, or we run a lot of specials on these types of things. But obviously, healthcare has a lot of special health observances. So, you know, of course, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So we'll normally run a special on that. So you could have, of course, your CFO could call and encourage, you know, call in and actually record a message that encourages people to come in. But patient testimonials are also a great way to speak to that sort of stuff. So if you have someone that has a wonderful story and came to your facility and, you know, really is willing to share that, that's a great time to do it. And it allows the callers to connect a little bit better than just a third-party voice that, you know, is saying, hey, come, this is great, this is why this facility is great. So it's much more connects a lot with the callers.
Now, what is the pain that your prospective clients are having that they are like, hey, I got to call these guys? Like, are they getting, like, what – they saw it somewhere else? Like, what? How? What's the typical point of entry? Is it the digital signage then that leads to the voice stuff?
Or I think it's a combination. Mm-hmm. You know, I will say that the digital signage is obviously, it's much more out there. It's in people's faces. Right. You're in a waiting room, and it's there, and it's very easy for someone to say, hey, I saw this at that hospital, and right. we don't have
how
it
come
here.
We don't have that.
Exactly. Right. On-hold messaging is a totally different.
Because the only way you would know about it is if calling. You called the hospital.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times that is a much, it is much more of us calling them and saying, hey, you know, we noticed you don't have anything. We do. Healthcare has a lot of transition, and this is the one thing that is beneficial to us because we are a customer-centric company. So when one marketing director leaves and goes from one hospital to the next, most of the time they pick up the phone and call us again because it's not a phone call that you place and you might get a call back the next day. It is, you know, well, there's a mispronunciation in a program, which of course we always try to avoid, but just like anything else, you're right. going to have an error. And our goal is to be proactive about that. So we're going to immediately answer that call. We always have an operator. We have 24/7 support as well. So in instances of a crisis or, you know, one of the great examples we like to use is we work with the hospital system in New Orleans. So when Katrina came through, they had up-to-the-minute updates pretty much on their phone systems because all their power lines and everything else was gone. So people didn't know, you know, they didn't know where to go to get treatment or where the shelters were. So we did those, you know, middle of the night, whatever.
So there's no shortage of compelling, relevant information that you guys can draw on. I can see myself telling the person when they break in to see if they can help me. Like, could you break in a moment? I'm right in the middle.
I didn't get the hard number.
We have heard that before.
It happens
oddly
a
enough,
lot.
Oddly enough, they'll say, no, 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 put me back on. I want to hear that message. So what we've had to do is actually give and call centers, we give their operators the scripts so they know what's right. coming up next.
Yeah, so they know when people
that's
ask
fantastic.
Questions.
That's fantastic. Because I can see myself, my kid, my youngest that we were talking about earlier, she broke her leg back in October. Mm-hmm. We're still waiting through all the explanation of benefits and the hospital bills and all that stuff. I would love to be calling the billing department, and while I'm on hold, mm-hmm. have the explanation of benefits actually explained.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And some stuff about billing explained. I mean, that would be very valuable information to me.
Exactly. I said to me, you know, I have two children, and I've said that how beneficial would it be to have this at your OB's office because of all the crazy first-time moms like myself that call to ask, is it okay if I have cough syrup, you know, or whatever it may be? Yeah. I mean, just go ahead and address those things, and they would have had to deal with me a lot less.
Right. They could just take their frequently asked questions and
yeah,
make
absolutely.
A little audio.
The other thing that's really popular with clients is they have something called demystifying myths. They love to have, this is the myth, and now
this
we're here
truth,
to demystify
right.
it. It is, because it, you know, people think one thing, and, you know, that's the beauty or the detriment of email, forward, 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 and then people want to know, oh, is, you know, hydrogen peroxide really the cure for, you know, so-and-so, or, you know, you don't know, so, and these things come up a time and time again, so when we work with clients, we try to say, you know what? It's great to provide similar information like Amanda used hand washing, but how do you keep talking about hand washing and make it as important as it is today as it was yesterday? So you have to be very interesting, engaging, relevant, tell them what's going to happen if they don't. You know, tell them what's going to happen if they do, you know, things like
right,
that.
Because you have to keep the same information fresh in some manner.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Do you tie it ever to, like, news? And like you mentioned Katrina, like, are you mm-hmm. able to then be that nimble to
of
say?
Of course, yes.
Like, if something happened, then you can immediately just go in the studio and record some stuff, mm-hmm. and then they can disseminate it fairly quickly.
For all of our clients, one of the things that we offer is crisis communication. So instead of us waiting by the phone for you to call us, you know, obviously there was the issue with the compounding and the mm-hmm. bacterial or the meningitis kind of outbreak about a year ago. Mm-hmm. And we had some clients that were on that list that they released that said these were the people that we sent some mixes too. So we go ahead and write those messages and record them and go ahead and reach out to all of those clients and give them that option. Heat waves, I mean, we do it for weather.
Right.
So, you know, it's hurricane season, tornado season, wildfire season, stuff you wouldn't, you know, here in Georgia, we don't think about, but we have clients across the country. So right. We want to always address that proactively and offer it. So that way, they're not calling us at 12 o'clock at night to record a message. We've already written it for them and said, hey, here's something you can use if you need to.
Now, you mentioned how healthcare is your niche, and you've talked a lot about hospitals, but do you attack the physician practices in the same way? Yep. Is it the same process, the same
pretty much
deliverable?
Yeah, pretty much.
A lot of our clients are actually... physician practices are affiliated with hospitals. So that is a very easy way to transition over. Yeah. But Kara, I know, has been working a good bit more on the physician practices as well.
We have one client who, I thought this was a really interesting comment when you asked about tracking and measuring. She said, then they're a pretty large physician practice out in California. And she said, one of the beautiful things about Sound Care is we get a lot of requests to participate in a 5K or sponsor this or sponsor that. And she goes, we can't recognize everybody. It's cost prohibitive, time prohibitive. Mm-hmm. But yet when you have a medium like Sound Care, you have the ability to thank so many more people. And you make people happy because it's just a simple thank you. And the other thing is...
So it's actually in the message? Like you can say,
yes.
Oh, thanks for whatever for... You know, this 5K that we just did and all the people that participated.
Yeah. And the beauty of it is, too.
Because it's a media platform. It's their own kind of media channel.
And it's easy to change and it is cost effective versus print.
Yeah. So when an event passes, you don't want to leave a dated message on there. You can now say, thank you, or we had a great time.
This event.
And then move on. And as Amanda said, it's very cost effective. And the other thing that happens is people make mistakes. So with the on-hold messaging with the digital signage, Channel Care, it's very easy to make corrections.
Right.
You know, it happens all the time. And by the time someone gets it, and it's very cost-effective to do so.
Now, in your digital signage, you can operate all these digital signs from your office here in Georgia?
We actually don't. We have a software that is developed, and it is kind of it's a web-based software. So the clients really drive that content. We also have a library with our digital signage as well that they can choose from, or they can create their own messages, but they can. And what's great about the system is if you have a hospital, and of course now you can kind of look at the industry and how it is changing, and your doctor is going to get acquired by another hospital and they're kind of merging with this hospital and forming these much larger systems. So what happens is the marketing departments will be centralized. So they may have, I mean, we have clients that have hospitals 2 hours away that are part of their system that they're responsible for. So instead of getting in the car and driving 2 hours away for these marketing folks and putting up signs about a clinic or something coming up, they can manage that system from wherever they're located. So if they work from home, they can do it all from home.
So what's the platform where the person is seeing the digital signage? It's not confined to the web. It's on screens on site?
Exactly.
Or?
Like on large flat screen monitors within the four walls of a hospital, physician practice, health plan. So you'll go in there and see hopefully very targeted, relevant patient education messages. Our big thing that really differentiates us from the hundreds and hundreds of people who do digital signage and on-hold messaging is really our content library, that we are continually developing messages that we think our clients would like to use. And a lot of times, they don't know. You know, they're doing things.
Right, they're looking to you.
Exactly.
Right, to be the expert.
Yeah, or they think, oh, well, we have this great 40-page PDF on our website.
That would be perfect to read. I'll read the whole thing word for word.
So we're going in saying, okay, can you say that in 30 words or less? And the other thing is the messages have to stand alone. So think about waiting. You can't be telling a long story because you may be exiting. So it's got that message has to teach you something in a very short period of time. But what we love is, you know, we'll sometimes just develop content to give people ideas. And patient satisfaction is a huge push right now because hospitals are being reimbursed or declined reimbursement in part because of how patients...
Right, they can't keep coming back for the same thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, how they're being reimbursed for the perception of the care that they provide. So you'll see a lot of hospitals right now or articles where people say, boy, we're number one in the country in this procedure, that procedure. But guess what? If the hot food isn't hot and the cold food isn't cold, you're probably going to get a bad
response.
You'll
get dinged for that, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So even though you may be the best transplant hospital in the country, if you don't have hot food, that could be a reason.
That could be reflected in your customer satisfaction score.
You may go and tell your friend or your family, I wouldn't go there again, because that might have been the most important thing. So we're continually trying to find messages. Well, how do you get that message across? How do you communicate to patients that they're in the right place, that their opinion matters, that, you know, not only are you going to get the highest level of care, but care means we value the time spent waiting, we value your time spent on hold, and here's the messages to prove it. You know, so our goal is always for somebody to say, you know what, I learned that on that sign over there, you know. I know broccoli is good for me, but now I'm going to do something about it.
And if I eat it here, it's going to be hot.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah,
now,
exactly.
It seems like you do a great job with engaging your customers and keeping happy customers over long periods of time. How do you get the word out to acquire new customers?
We obviously, you know, like I said, one of the biggest benefits that we have is kind of within the healthcare industry, there is transition and they're able to take us with us word of mouth.
No, for sure we don't.
We are blessed with a couple of guys that do go out and beat down a lot of doors. So,
they're reaching out to
hospitals primarily. And, you know, because it is a very, even though it's huge, it's still a very small world. I mean, I'm amazed where we'll have a client that will have been in Virginia and, you know, LinkedIn, of course, is such a great way to follow people. And then, you know, one of our sales guys figures out that I'm connected to this person that's at this hospital in Florida. Well, it's the same person that was at the hospital that I worked with in Virginia. Right. So they do call on hospitals and focus on that. And, you know, that really is, it's our niche. Again, it's because we're consultants. We're not just, we don't want to be just a vendor. We want to be proactive and there to support our clients in any way possible. So.
And we do attend very specialized trade shows in the healthcare industry.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
trade shows for this? For hospital marketers?
They're super exciting.
Is. No, are there really?
There are. Absolutely.
Really? A hospital
marketing? So
marketer.
You have a booth hospital and all marketing. That?
Yeah.
You set up a booth
absolutely.
And tell the people about
this stuff? Yep, and we put our monitors up there and we display content so that what's really interesting is, you know, you sit here and you know, everybody conjures up an idea in their mind of what the product is, but it's really different when you walk in and see a message that really talks about, you know, how you can prevent, you know, illnesses and what you need to do to care for yourself. And as we all know, you need constant reminders. So, we'll do a lot of that in the trade show because we want the marketers to walk in.
So you have like headphones and they put on headphones, they can hear the message?
Well, we used to do that years ago with Soundcare, but you know how it is when you're in a trade show and it's pretty busy and people are staring at you while you have the headphones.
We do.
It's a little intimidating.
One of the monitors does normally have audio with it, so you can actually, and it's normally a touch screen and you can pick
messages.
If anyone's
brave enough with everyone staring, oh, what are you hearing? What are you hearing? Oh, yeah. Okay.
How many people go to these trade shows?
Oh, gosh.
It's like 100 or 1,000?
These are targeted. Well, these are a little smaller. Probably 600 to 700 people attend at a time.
We can round up and say 1,000. Thousands.
They're not like some of these huge, huge trade shows. Although there are some big ones. But we try to get into some of the state meetings, like state hospital association meetings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're dealing with mediums like on-hold messaging and digital signage that affect thousands and thousands of people who are millions at some places put on hold or within the four walls of a hospital, one person can't make the decision to purchase
that. It's probably a complex sale. Yeah, you need
a committee, and it goes all the way up to the top. So the higher the level that we can get to, when we get a CEO that says, you know what, this is a product we need, and this is the company we need to work with, boy, things just you know, kind of work very well.
So what's the best way for our listeners to reach out and learn more, maybe have a conversation with the two of you or some of these stellar guys you were talking about earlier?
The best way probably is to visit our website. We're at vericom.net. We're here in Roswell, Georgia. Our 800 number is 800-800-1090. Both Amanda and I are on LinkedIn. So, and we have a Vericom Healthcare Communications group on LinkedIn that we send invitations to so that we can have some more dialogue. The other thing I'd like to mention that we're very passionate about is to give a shout out to the Georgia Association for Health Literacy. Mm-hmm. It's a relatively new organization that started about a year ago. It's led by Cynthia Bauer at the CDC. And there's a lot of companies like Vericom, academia, you know, Emory, UGA. We're all coming together to support messaging and ways to get information out there about health that people are able to act upon. So it makes it easier to access healthcare. And also what's really important is empower individuals to ask questions, to take responsibility for their own health. So I really think you're going to start to hear more and more about this association. And, you know, we encourage, you know, companies that aren't even involved in healthcare to join because, you know.
Right. That's important for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you think we should maybe reach out to them and get them on? Do you think they'd like to come on and talk about that?
I think absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's get them on. Well, first of all, Trevor, when we're broadcasting live right now, but when we do the podcast, let's include a link in that on that website for the Georgia Association.
Yeah, they don't. Because we're figuring out what type of organization to be. The best place to go for that would probably be to the CDC website and search on health literacy, and that would be a great starting point. But what you're going to see is this association is going to have its own website with a lot of information that will
and
be
you're involved
available for
with us.
Yes, yeah, Vericom.
So we
is
can
very
reach out to you
involved.
If we want to schedule.
That would be great. Yep,
yeah,
I'd love to.
Let's help them get the word out. That is so important.
It is absolutely. Yeah.
Well, it has been an absolute delight having you two in the studio this morning.
You.
This was fun and informative. And now I'm just going to call some doctor's offices on your client list just to listen.
You can call us. We will make you wait.
We will.
On purpose.
That's their sales technique.
You know, really
hold
is.
Please. Hold please.
See how beneficial this is?
Hey, how about hanging out with us while we visit with our next guest?
We'd love to.
All right. Next up on High Velocity Radio, we have with us VP Corporate Sales with Axia. Please join me in welcoming to the show Miss Demi Tanner. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. You were very polite and patient. Looked like you learned a thing or two in that last conversation as well. I don't know. It looked like you might have even been taking some notes.
I did take some notes. I really enjoyed the conversation, and I'm really kind of actually excited about speaking to both Kara and Amanda later on after the show, a little bit about some possibilities maybe even for our organization.
Fantastic. So tell us a little bit about Axia. What are you guys out there doing for folks?
Oh, wonderful. Well, we are a commerce technology organization, and Axia is based out of Santa Barbara, California, and essentially how people normally identify our organization is in the payments industry. So anything dealing with an electronic payment from Visa, MasterCard, Discover, Amex, ACH, checks, and so forth. So essentially what we do is we support businesses nationwide to facilitate electronic payments. And our corporate headquarters is based out of Santa Barbara, and we are a company that's been around for 23 years and privately owned.
Now, in the merchant processing space, it seems like there's a lot of competitors out there. And it seems like it's changing because not only do you have the big players like you guys, but there's also like the Square and these little kind of, you know, swipe it on my iPhone players as well.
Absolutely. Well, there's actually, you know, it's an interesting question you have there because there's many players to begin with in the space. So you've got your issuing banks,
right,
who are the people that issue the consumers the credit card. And then you've got your card associations, which is the logo that's on the credit card. So it's kind of like the railway that's being used, let's say, in the satellite. So somebody will pick a MasterCard or a Visa or Amex or Discover or JCB. And then obviously you've got your acquirers and processors, which is essentially where we fall, that we help the merchants sustain the money. And then obviously that's where you have also your organizations like Square, which are interesting. You know, to me, they're a lot of it having to do with marketing. Even with Square, if you go on the internet and you check out their reviews, you'll be able to see that one of the biggest benefits that organization has is they got a great marketing technique.
Right.
But then if you take a look at some of the other effects from the organization, they're not so positive with regards to funding, And again, just strictly a mobile device, which doesn't really provide a well-rounded solution.
Right, for most businesses, mm-hmm. for sure.
Right.
So how would you advise a company to go about engaging a firm like yours? Because I don't even know what questions to ask. Like if I'm hiring...
The salespeople are very persuasive.
Yes.
Well, that I believe. And now probably soon they'll have cool on-hold music and,
exactly.
And messaging.
Exactly.
But I don't even know what questions to ask if we're looking for a merchant.
Right. Like how do you choose? How would somebody choose?
Well, the interesting thing about our business, I mean, it's actually a question to kind of ask yourself. Think of your day. You know, your week, and think of where you go today where they only accept cash. So everybody accepts some
sure.
form, right, of
right.
electronic
sure.
payment. So with that said, whether it's a kiosk that you're going to or whether it's a business that you're using, you know, to swipe your card, anyone who's accepting your payment would essentially be a merchant, as we call them in our business, or a customer.
Mm-hmm.
And those people there, when they're looking at their bill, I kind of giggle because it looks like a telephone bill and you never know what each one line item means.
Right.
And we believe, you know, to be better stewards in the industry. And we believe in educating all of our customers, explaining each line item, not only the line item, but essentially the pricing model that they're under, because there's like 14 to 15 different models that people utilize in our space. Yeah. And we believe in utilizing what we call as interchange pass-through, which is the most relevant one with our company,
mm-hmm.
Which is wholesale pricing strictly at a pass-through cost with, you know, an obviously pre-disclosed markup with no hidden fees, no surprises, everybody knows.
So transparency is important for your company.
Right, but transparency is a very key buzzword in our industry, but it's very interesting when you know, everyone's using that as a great buzzword, but they don't dictate it in their actions.
Uh-huh.
Right.
So what's a way, like some, a way to mislead a customer?
Pricing model would be one way.
So it looks like it's one thing, but it's really something else?
Correct. Correct. Or they get charged for various different downgrades. There's hidden charges involved in there, which is what we often see because we offer a free rate analysis and a free rate review.
So you can take someone's bill and kind of really see what the truth is?
Absolutely. We break it down for them. And then what we also do is outside of what it is we educate our merchants on, we also show them websites that they can go to directly through the card brand association. So again, your card associations like Visa, MasterCard, Discover. Visa's is the most... easy to read. It's very well organized. And we give them that link. That way they can verify and authenticate what we're telling them.
So they don't have to just take your word for it.
Correct. Correct. We like putting, you know, a little bit of skin in the game here by showing them exactly where to go and what to see. That way it keeps everybody honest.
So how about legislation? Are there things happening on the Hill all the time that impact this world and that you guys can kind of be translators or interpreters for us?
Oh, my gosh, yes. There is a lot happening. You know, the industry itself has been one that hasn't been very heavily regulated, you know, a long time. And the first regulation basically took place with the Durbin Amendment, which came about, which was regulating and non-regulated debit cards that are out there. So they cracked down on some issuing banks and basically put a threshold and a limit and said that you are to create basically two categories, one of them being a regulated category and one of them being a non-regulated category. And just to give you guys an example, regulated debit cards are at 95 basis points in our business, which is almost 1%, okay, and 15 cents a transaction. And then non-regulated are at 0.05 basis points and 21 cents a transaction. So it kind of shows you inherently a huge difference between that. And so the Durbin Amendment basically got passed out, was that about 3 years ago? And now what you also have coming about is EMV, which stands for Europay, MasterCard, Visa. And what they're basically doing there is they're rolling out the whole entire chip and PIN system.
I ran into that the last time I was across the pond. I had my Visa card, and it wasn't any good. I had to go outside the restaurant, leave my wife hostage while I went around the corner and got euros mm-hmm. to come in and pay because my card wouldn't work over there. But that's all coming over here, and we're all going to have the chip. Yeah?
Correct, correct. That's they're planning on migrating that here. In fact, the first, I think it's going to be in 2015 is like the final year where they're saying they want everybody on the chip and PIN system. What that basically means is that every single merchant that you go to has to upgrade all their equipment.
So it affects the merchants, not just the consumer could just get a new card with the chip in it. Right.
You guys are all going to be getting new cards in the mail that's going to be having a chip in it. But now what's happening is every single merchant out there now is going to be, should be getting educated on this through their merchant processor and or acquirer, somebody again like us. But within that also could come a lot of confusion. And what I mean by that is I oftentimes see a lot of these lease programs that some of these merchants have that they're paying an outrageous amount of money for a piece of equipment that costs $400.
Oh, mm-hmm. So like the person who has the restaurant, say their swiping machine mm-hmm. only costs a few hundred dollars, but the merchant processor they're using is leasing it to them.
For like $2,000 a year.
Ouch.
Really?
Right. No. And that's, I mean, that's...
Is that... You're kidding me. That
no, I'm not.
$2,000 a year for a $400 product? Mm-hmm. But the customer just doesn't know. That restaurant has no idea.
No, they don't.
It's just built into their fee. They don't even think about it.
Correct. Or they have like a separate lease for it. So it's, you know, it's unfortunate. And we see that. And it's hard because, as again, as people that we consider ourselves to be experts in the space and educators, and much like our, you know, prior callers here or participants here in the show, we also consider ourselves to be more of a consultative type sale where we like educating people on the space, but also personalizing it to their specific business needs, not only at present time, but how they see they want to grow their business, whether it's through building a website and powering that website, because that's, again, another area that we do, whether it's through mobile solutions, whether it's through loyalty programs or
so
gift
your,
cards.
So your firm can help a customer with their e-commerce and their mobile and
absolutely.
Everything. So
all
that way, if there's a transaction taking place, you can help them execute that transaction on that, whatever platform that's relevant to them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's exactly what we do. And again, it's not a matter of just taking a look at what their solutions are for their, you know, simply just for their pricing needs right mm-hmm. now, which, as we very well know, this economy has driven people to be very cost conscious and
sure.
take that very seriously in helping that business owner out. But in the same breath, too, we like driving revenue. So we want to be able to assist this organization to drive their profits, their revenue, in hopes of getting their product and their messaging out there as well.
So how do you do that?
Through identifying, sitting down with the business owners and or you know, CEOs of organizations or VP of finance, and we more or less take a look at what their roadmap is, what where they're at present time and where they're looking at going, and how we can obviously assist them accordingly
so
to
like
find relevant
could,
products.
So you could help maybe a firm that doesn't have any e-commerce, and you say, you know, we have this thing that you can easily integrate into your website, and then now you can start selling your stuff through your website.
Absolutely. Whether it's, let's say, it's various products that require a shopping cart, or whether it's just simply a pay page, or whether it's getting a branded gift card, which is not very expensive. You know, they can get their own custom logo put on there, and they can market those gift cards out there where they could be given out as gifts or...
And you can help them with all that?
All of that. Mm-hmm.
That sounds like a distinct competitive advantage to me, because I can tell you the last conversation that I had with a potential merchant services, the very first thing we did was we went to page 13 in his catalog to look at equipment.
Mm-hmm.
That was the, I mean, that was like
the
first part of the conversation.
What kind of cool device do you want?
Right. Yeah. It wasn't anything about, well, tell me more about your business and how your customers come and the kinds of, you know, customers you want to
segment. Now you know why, because they're about to make $2,000 for a $400 device.
Right. Or better yet, what they do is they'll basically throw in a swiper for you. You know, they'll basically say, hey, the swiper is free, but what you fail to realize is you're paying this crazy what we call net effective rate, which mm-hmm. the net effective rate is essentially the percentage of fees over all your sales. So let's hypothetically say that somebody is paying 3.5%.
Right.
And, you know, they're sitting back saying, oh, but I got a free swiper that maybe only costs $50 or, you know, $60. So again, what you're looking at is there's a lot of what I've seen is that I've seen a lot of dishonesty in the space. And that's why, again, I'm very proud to be part of this company. Again, being a privately held company based out of California, Santa Barbara. And it's really an organization that's excelled immensely and been very recognized for growing organically.
Now, do you have a sweet spot on type of businesses you work with?
You know, it's amazing. We are very fairly very well-rounded organization. We do a lot in education. We do a lot in faith-based organizations. Mm-hmm. We do a lot in healthcare, which is interesting and interesting parallel here, but you know, we really are very well diversified.
So not restaurants, though?
A lot of restaurants as well. Yeah, absolutely. So jewelry stores, restaurants.
So retail, restaurants. Retail,
right.
So across the board.
Across the board. But if you were to probably organize some of the top volume, let's say, it would probably come through education.
So what's faith-based. Education mean?
Schools, colleges, universities, daycares.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And faith-based organizations, I don't have to thump the plate anymore. I can just put my pledge.
You better
on
believe
the thing.
It. You better believe it. Absolutely. So you can, you know, again, through through that, there's pay pages that a lot of these churches have created.
That's smart.
Right.
And recurring? It sounds like recurring is a common denominator.
Recurring, absolutely. A lot of people are moving towards that direction. And recurring payment is really kind of neat. It's a cloud-based vault. So everything is, you know, obviously... held, all the information mm-hmm. is stored and secure up in the cloud where, again, they're able to hold your information there. And let's say that you have a bill scheduled to be paid, you know, or donation that you want made $100 a month.
Right.
Whatever it might be, you could schedule that recurring payment and that could just automatically come out of your account.
I really like that imagery, cloud-based vault. I'm going to ask you about, I want to talk about risk management a little bit before we wrap. Just yesterday, I was at Publix, and I bought like $20-something worth of groceries, and they did not make me sign.
They did not make
you
sign.
So is that some new legislation or something under a certain amount, or I just look trustworthy, or what's the deal?
No, that's actually not, it was more or less a signature debit, or, you know, just simply a signature debit is most likely what it was. I don't know exactly the, you know, transaction process right. that you went through. But for risk, you can run into issues with risk when you're dealing with like address verification, you know, let's say with situations online or even PCI compliance, which is what a lot of merchants have been hearing about right now,
mm-hmm.
which is essentially more along the lines of when a new merchant comes on board, it's important to educate them on saying do not store any cardholder data on your computers, in your files, unless it's all cloud-based. Because, again, there's so much fraud happening out there. They want to be able, the card associations want to be able to track that fraud down to where it came from. And with that said, no different than our organization, Axia Payments, we also have profiles built on each one of our merchants. So when we start noticing things kind of stepping a little bit outside the bounds of what your profile looks like, at times we'll actually put a phone call into the office manager or, you know, some the person on file, the individual's name on file. That way we can then say, hey, you know, we're noticing a transaction went through on the internet and it was, you know, for XYZ amount. Do you know who this customer is? You know, so we have, again, a team of people that manage the process that way to manage risk.
And they knew it was me because it was Sunday. Yeah. It was lima beans, smoked sausage.
You're a regular.
Yeah, this is the guy. He comes every Sunday right, and gets his beans.
Right.
Now, you're the VP of corporate sales yes. manager, right?
Yes.
So now, what is your day like? Are you selling all over the country? Are you selling here only in Georgia?
Everywhere, yes. So we have a team of people nationwide. Mm-hmm. So, again, our operations center is based out of Santa Barbara, California, but we've got people, again, in Southeast.
Are you a Southeast focused or you can sell anywhere?
Anywhere. A lot of our business, I mean, again, I could sell in California. I could mm-hmm. sell in Hawaii.
So that's where you're at, depending on the time of year.
Exactly.
She has to go and meet you in person.
Exactly.
If it's going to be Hawaii.
We call that a site survey. I need to go. Yeah, absolutely. But no, we can essentially sell, you know, anywhere. Business is a very interesting industry where, you know, you don't need to be, you know, quite honestly, just simply at one location. A lot of our business actually is even done over the phone through go-to meetings and so forth, unless, right. again, it's a very large-scale merchant.
So who do you go after? Like you said, anybody is a target, but like you can't be calling every single business. Do you have a certain sweet spot for you personally?
Personally, for me, education's my sweet spot. Mm-hmm. I love it. And healthcare as well, which is another vertical that, you know, we've been very successful in. And a lot of that just basically has to do with what's exciting about with our company is even with some of these organizations, what's really neat is how we're able to work with them at times when they also are looking to be tied into a charity, because our organization is such a charity-focused company, even through our own personal donations every year. So what's interesting is that we're able to really cultivate and craft some really neat solutions that we feel, again, are benefiting these organizations, maximizing their efforts too.
So like say you were working with a daycare center, could you have it set up so that every time they pay by credit card, a certain percentage goes to a charity?
We could organize things accordingly. Mm-hmm.
Wow. So
absolutely.
That's really powerful when you're selling to offer that every time that they spend money with you, a portion is donated to a charity that's relevant to the
absolutely.
Service they're providing. providing.
Absolutely. So that's what's really interesting about our company is, again, for as strong as we are in the industry, we're able to really customize programs very specific to, you know, again, each customer's needs.
No, this genuinely is a consultative kind of relationship that you guys have. And I got to tell you, going into this, I had envisioned, I guess because of my prior experience in these conversations, that yours was a much more transactional business. But at least you guys have chosen to make it a much more relationship-oriented consultative.
Yeah, you're right. And I mean, and again, the industry itself tends to be, you know, we jokingly were calling it almost like people at times view this as a commodity because of the amount of phone calls people get. But the problem that I've seen with that, and oftentimes our rebuttal, is a fact that so many people get out there in the market and are getting on the phone calling, trying to, you know, coerce that merchant by saying, hey, I'm going to save you money, I'm going to save you money. And they kind of give it a bad image and a bad name when it really is so much more than that. And oftentimes when people experience the way that they go through the process with our organization, with Axia, every single time a customer, you know, call me about one of my representatives that's out in the field, they'll basically say, I learned something. It was great. You know, I got the opportunity to learn something. I feel very guarded. I feel very protected. And actually working with a company that is taking my business into consideration and my my specific needs.
Has Axia been in Georgia long?
Axia has been in business for 23 years.
Right, but how long have they had some presence here, like with the boots on the ground?
I'd say probably in the last year.
Oh, really?
It's about the last year in the Southeast. They're very heavy on the West Coast, and they're very heavy in the Midwest as well, like in the Midwestern regions. And then in the Southeast, I would say going up the Eastern coast, this is where we're beginning to really put our focus in to gain some additional.
Are you from here or did you come from California?
I'm originally from Chicago.
Oh, so they hired you to come to build out the Southeast?
Correct.
Or this part?
Correct.
So how's it been for you, the transition to the South?
It's been exciting. It's been exciting. I've learned a great deal. I've learned that I always thought everybody else had an accent, but now I realized I do.
Well, this has been a lot of fun, very informative. I think it'd be fun to have you come back sometime, maybe with a merchant customer and hear it from their side.
Oh, I would love to do that.
You think that would make for an interesting segment?
You have local customers?
Yes, yes, yes. And I would love to because you definitely, that would actually probably be more like a comedy hour.
Well, let's get some coordinates to our listeners so they know how to reach out to you or your team and learn more.
Fantastic. Well, you could visit us at axiapayments.com. And if you have any questions, you could definitely fill out a request there and we'll make sure we can get back to you there right away. And our phone number is 877-875-6116. And if you need to reach me directly, I'm at extension 501. And you could also find us on LinkedIn.
All right. Well, until next time, this is Stone Payton for Lee Cantor, our producer today, Trevor Wolford, our guest this morning, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you in the fast lane.